Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 11 of Podcast of Veto. I'm your host, Brendan, and joining me as always are my brothers, Terrence.
Hey.
And Owen.
Hey guys, I'm Owen.
If you're new to the podcast, we recap, discuss, and analyze every episode of Big Brother Season 21.
And I want to butt in there. If you're new to this podcast specifically, we'll be recapping the Rockstar and Brett podcast at the very end.
Well, that's news to me because you brought me coffee in the kitchen earlier, so...
Okay, so let's get into the recap segment of the show, hashtag but first. I'm just going to go through a quick outline of the events that were teased on Thursday's episode about the fall of six-shooters that were shown in more detail in tonight's episode.
I feel like this podcast, like last podcast for us with the Deathly Hallows part one, like we were just kind of theorizing what was happening.
Yeah.
And now this is part two. This is when we really get to the
We were dancing in a tent. There was questionable romantic tension. Now here we are.
All right. So it all started with Jack and Mickey discussing that Christy and Tommy would target them if given the opportunity. Mickey then told Jack that Holly and Kat knew each other before coming into the house, which was somewhat of a bombshell, but apparently they had sort of theorized this in the past.
Jack had to stay stone-faced.
Right.
Couldn't act shocked.
Yeah. But he was suspicious already.
And both of these are within the context of why you would keep Sam.
Right.
Kat becomes a target for being a friend with Holly, and Sam could potentially help them in the event that Christy targeted them.
Jack then relayed this info to Christy and Tommy because he feels closer to them, at least game-wise. Then it sort of morphed in like a little game of telephone into not just Kat and Holly knowing each other outside the house, but Kat, Holly, and Mickey.
That seems
You are a trio.
That seemed to be mostly propelled by Tommy. Like, he's the one that took that next jump, if I remember correctly.
They were basically like, yeah, and you know what? They might have even known Mickey. You know what? They did know Mickey.
I don't know why they needed to know Mickey, because like Holly and him were dating.
I know, so, like, it's irrelevant.
They can say they're a trio regardless.
Exactly.
Without Absolutely. Making that jump.
I don't get why that was like, the focus, but whatever.
And while all this is going on, they start to discuss flipping the vote and voting Kat out, making her genius plan not look so genius.
That's a shame.
While this was all very interesting, Holly overheard all this, and then eventually Tommy had to just reveal to Holly that he doesn't feel safe in the six and that he's willing to flip the vote.
Because of the way Mickey had been acting.
I just want to shout out Holly's ears here.
Yeah, seriously.
It was like serious whispering behind a closed door.
Between and Tommy and
yeah,
Sis.
She was focusing, but like she managed to make out not the full thing of what they said, but of like, oh, we can't let Sam know, and she immediately knew, like, oh my god, they might be trying to flip.
I had some thoughts on that this episode. You know what I realized? It's in a studio, which means the walls don't go up to the roof.
Wow.
That's why that's always why they can hear everything.
You just took me out of the experience.
Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right.
Reminds me I of never the thought about that. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode when he looks up at the roof and it's not there.
Good
Do you
reference.
Guys remember that?
No, I. You know what? I am not a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air completist. So I've not seen all the episodes.
I'm not a completist either, but like there was just they decided to break the fourth wall and he was like, why can't Uncle Phil afford a ceiling? And then they looked up.
That's like some pretty meta humor for the early 90s.
Yeah. And then this basically led to a knockdown, drag-out argument between the six-shooters. Once again, in the middle of the house, Jess was shocked to hear that they had a six-person alliance.
Yeah, I know. You could have made like a gif out of her face with it.
I love that. I made a joke while we were watching it that she was going to react that way, and then she did.
Jess is nothing if not predictable until this episode.
Right. So what are our thoughts on this?
So this is all the preliminary stuff leading up to the argument, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we're in the nitty gritty.
I think the most shocking thing here is that Jack was so quickly to turn on Mickey.
Yeah. It kind of calls back to something we talked about probably a couple weeks ago at this point. Where Mickey sort of like put out all these different floaters and like was saying things to people outside the Alliance were that were a little bit questionable and could get him in trouble. And we said, this is working great so far, but at some point it might bite him. Who would have thought that it was within his own Alliance, let alone Jack, where that kind of saying the one extra thing that maybe he shouldn't say started to bite him.
Right.
I just did not expect it.
I think the weirdest thing about this argument, which made it enjoyable in the show, it's kind of hard to remember specific details of it. It's just the emotion of it, because pretty much they argue about the same thing in various rooms, broken up by basically people having to shower for the live show. yeah, I mean, it's just, we basically now have, I think, two sort of sides to Six Shooters that have split down the middle, being Jack, Christy, Tommy.
Sis?
I think Sis is on that
side. I think that she would lean that way.
I was going to say Jack, Christy, Tommy, Mickey, Holly, and then Sis is just sort of the odd man out now.
Maybe.
Because
I think Mickey and Holly are on an island.
I
mean, we'll talk about that more when we get into the actual argument, but...
Well, aren't we in the argument?
We're still in the prelude, I thought. We didn't talk about, like, what was happening once they got in that room. There were some bombs dropped.
To further go off of prelude stuff, Tommy, in such a great position of, like, not ruffling any feathers, he lost
all
his cool this one.
I don't... Yeah, he was, like, the most... Maybe the... Let's do power rankings. Who was the most rattled by this? Six Shooters. From
Mickey.
least rattled to most rattled. I'm going to go least. I'm going to start with Sis.
Sis was pretty rattled. She really couldn't keep her cool.
She defended herself because Mickey attacked her.
No, but in the she's part of the reason I feel like that it ended up taking place, because she couldn't just act normal when Mickey came in the room.
Oh, good point. Those poker faces were
brutal. That was rough. Tommy was okay, but...
He still wasn't great.
He was just like, yeah, no, all good.
Yeah, I don't know anything... I don't know of anything yet. I think he said that.
I would have loved if there was a real, like, movie moment where Mickey notices Sis kind of squirming and being like, Sis, everything all right?
There actually was a movie moment. It was when Jack was feeding the fish, so you've got the action going on, and Mickey just goes... Don't do it, man.
Isn't Jack like the guy who's like super into the fish tank?
I guess.
I mean, he is Aquaman.
I didn't
realize. He was wearing gloves to grab the fish food, which I thought was weird.
I didn't realize that it was like on them to feed the fish.
Oh, I was aware.
I guess it makes sense.
If you're a human, that's just instinct, man. You got to take care of the fish.
I'm surprised this season they didn't die.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into the argument. So, as always, they convene in the center of the house to have a screaming match. And Christy, ironically, pulls a Cliff and basically tells the entire house what her gameplay is, who she's aligned with, and what's going on in that center room.
Christy's done that all season.
Oh, my God. She's ridiculous, but it has not caught up to her yet.
I know.
For some reason, she didn't get called out in this argument for that, because Mickey was saying, like, basically, like, I have this sourced by multiple people that you've said this. Take it a step forward and just accuse her of always saying everything to everyone.
And the thing is, obviously, we aren't on Mickey's side, but he was kind of right.
Oh, yeah.
There have been a lot of people floating out there that she's very much game to vote him out.
Well, here's the thing. This conflict, everything is rooted in, is completely legitimate.
Right.
Kat and Holly do have some sort of relationship, understanding of each other outside of this house. Christy is after them. Well, maybe not them, after Mickey. So, like, everything here is real. It was bound to happen. I'm just amazed it kind of went down this way.
I think just the underpinnings of it are the fact that Mickey has proven to be so unlikable and people have a real personal problem with him. So regardless of whether his, you know, problem with Christy is legitimate or not, they feel like he has no standing, because it's like, well, we just don't like you because you're a dick.
True. And with this conflict of Kat and Holly knowing each other, do we like that they tried to keep the lie going, even though it's obvious that it's a lie? Or should one of them have explained, kind of like how it was explained to us as the viewer, like, we were in basically like adjacent pageants? Like we knew of each other.
That's a good question.
I feel like they both had box seats at a festival and they were in a box with a lot of people together. That's my thought.
Well,
I can see that.
Well,
so they like kind of met, but they don't really
know
each other.
They were like there for like some Instagram event and like they needed to like use the hashtag and like show that they were there.
Yeah, I think that's actually what it was. They probably had they were glamping together, probably.
I think that's completely plausible.
But I think you want to lie a little bit if they were actually glamping and they really had like an actual friendly relationship, they should just say like we knew of each other. We were in similar circles.
Yeah, this gets back to something that we have harped on way more this season than ever. What is the value of playing a straight down the line honest game and not lying in these situations? Because normally the default is to lie, and frankly, it's usually a good move.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to say that you're right, Owen, and that them coming clean here sort of makes it all go away, but I kind of don't, because at this point, everyone's still looking for the thing that can make you a target and that makes it easy to put you up, and I think that just makes it all the easier to put either one of them up.
I don't think anyone was convinced by them lying, though. And it just so happened that, like, they decided at the last second that they should keep Kat.
Right.
That's an interesting point, but for anyone in there who's actually paying attention to what's happening, and I suppose they don't have the benefit that we do of having seen the actual truth in all these matters, but there's been an awful lot of blow-ups around things that were either spun or not true. For example, the Nicole thing. Like, those people who are in Six Shooters, a few of them actually know the truth.
I was going to say, that was actually one of the more interesting things that they revealed.
Yeah, oh, the rogue vote. That was
I thought that's what you were talking about.
Well, I was going to get there, but what I'm saying is, like, there is enough doubt over anything anyone is saying based on things that have happened in this house that maybe keeping that veil of mystery still benefits them, because you can't definitively say that they know each other.
True, I guess. So let's talk about the revealing the Nicole rogue vote. Really, another moment of vindication for
our girl Nicole,
because they really bullied her in that moment when they blamed a Fugazi vote on her, and then it was just openly revealed that Mickey did the did the vote.
Did you see her face?
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Like, she had no clue. Remember, he had her completely fooled.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, shout out, Nicole.
Yeah. That is so important that came out, because I think that is all the more important in a rallying cry for the people who were not part of that alliance. Like, hello, it took us this long to get our heads out of our you-know-whats. Like, let's do something to get these guys out of here if and when we end up with any sort of power to do something.
My last few thoughts on this argument were, I think Mickey's done. He's kind of been done because everyone's been talking about how much they dislike him, even within his own alliance, but he did not handle himself well in this argument. And, you know, he stormed out a couple times. He lost his temper the whole time. And despite all that, I think he said to Holly, "So I guess I can't trust Jack anymore." Obviously. We've talked about how we think that he kind of understands how to play the game, but I don't think he really does, because he can't control his temper or his sort of ego being overly inflated has really hurt his game in the long run. I don't think he'll have any shot at going much further in the game. And also, he can't win competitions.
I mean, he won one, but you know,
he did win it when it was important.
True.
Yeah,
so I'll give him that.
I don't want to say he can't. I don't think he's proven to be above average.
I think he's below average.
And I know we've beaten to death the fact that, like, he probably hates women and he's, like, a bad person. Mm-hmm. But I just hate the guys like him. Like, if he went on a first date, like, bowling, and he lost, like, he might try and throw the bowling ball through the floor.
I think he even said during the argument, he's like, "Yeah, I get it. Like, I don't like women." Like, okay. So it was like, yo.
Yeah. Man. I had something. No, pass on me. I had a really good point. I just lost it.
Any closing thoughts on these? Did it live up to your expectations?
Yes.
Yes, because it actually resulted in the destruction of this alliance.
Right.
Yes. And my point just came back to me. While I think the popular opinion of Mickey in the House is that he is pretty much done, his credibility is gone, do we think he is more done than Nick was 2 weeks ago? Like, to borrow a bit, which one's done, which one's finished? Because at this point, I think Nick might have escaped from the hole he was in.
He did. There's an interesting scenario that we can get more into shortly where Cliff's Angels is going to... Actually, you know what? Never mind.
I mean, we'll get into that.
I just talked myself out of that, so never mind.
Oh, okay.
They sort of mentioned this idea, Cliff's Angels, of, oh, well, like, Mickey and them would work with us more than Jack and them, but the end of the episode doesn't make sense. Right.
Yeah. Last thing I want to say about the argument is how I hate Jack. He had the moment of slamming the door, which was just another moment showing his aggression. And when he jumps around,
it's weird.
Oh my God, it's like he's a 10-year-old.
It was like when he was screaming loud noises during the Nicole bully gate.
Yeah, he gets into these modes where he's like completely uncontrollable, and he loses his like facade that he has.
Yeah, and his personality is an embodiment of all the most annoying memes.
Right.
And like movie quotes from Anchorman like 15 years ago.
I think he's a sociopath. I want to declare it.
Well, isn't
Owen
one of the things
has declared.
Well, I mean, I think I agree, but isn't one of the things with a sociopath that you're ultra aware of how people perceive you and you try to manipulate that? Is that a thing?
Don't ask me.
Because I'm not saying from personal experience, but what?
No, I'm saying I don't know.
And I only say that because of the obscenely transparent, like, oh, babe, I love you. What's going on? Like, before...
Did you just turn Jack into Nick?
No, don't you remember when he was HOH and Jessica came up and he's like, babe, I love you. What's going on? You're the best. You're the queen. And then, like,
maybe
let's
Nick?
Talk. No, this was Jack.
But you're doing, like, a Nick impression while
being
Jack.
My Jack impression...
Jack is just like this.
My Jack impression is Lego Batman.
Jack kind of sounds like John Cena.
I think
Mickey is a better Lego Batman. And Jack...
Gotta take some souls.
Yeah, exactly.
You know who Nick kind of sounds like every so often? I can't think of his actual name, but...
You know who he sounds like?
Nick from New Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally.
Is it Jack or
Jake
Johnson?
Jake Johnson, yeah.
Okay.
Just
Spider-Man.
Throwing that out there. Yes, Spider-Man. Well, there you go.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Spider-Man. All right. So, ultimately... The vote didn't flip, as we already knew, and Kat stayed.
It mainly didn't flip, seemingly from like a moral crisis on Christie's part.
That Sam had the least to do with this, by the way. We were wondering what he did. Literally nothing.
Yeah, and he also didn't try and take advantage of it. I didn't even see him this episode.
I think that was a good look. I think it was honestly a good look for him. It just didn't get all the way there.
Right.
Yeah.
I think part of it too was that I think Holly sort of talked about how they could not let Kat go because she was on their side and Sam wasn't.
She did say that. If Sam was hyper aware of what was going on, like he knew the details of it, his only play would have been guaranteeing allegiance to Jack and Christie.
Yeah.
Then they might have kept him.
I wonder if he... I don't even think he could have really caught on to that.
Exactly.
Nuance.
I don't think so either.
Okay, so... Then we get into the HOH competition, and this was sort of like, you know, you titled the two episodes ago after the Tarantino movie. It was like a Tarantino movie where the action in the present is going on in the HOH comp, and they keep doing a flashback, and it's like the winding roads that led to this HOH. All of these unrelated characters.
And then everything blows up at the end.
Right. Talk about a blow up. Jess won HOH. Owen!
You are vindicated!
Exactly. I mean, I was berated.
We basically podcast tar and feathered you.
You, and you, here I am. You were made to feel lesser than, kind of like Jess.
So, great. This is, I don't know. I didn't know what I wanted here. I didn't really want Kat because...
I want a Kat.
you know, I really like Kat personally, but there's something about her playing both sides of the house thing that makes no sense to me, and I didn't really want to see what that meant. Because
yeah, I kind of agree with that.
I felt like it was just going to be more of the same if Kat won.
There is an element of her just sort of stumbling through the game and getting by just by pure luck.
So, like, she's like, I hate Mickey, but he's for my game. Time. He's good for my game.
You know, this is something I've been thinking about, and we've kind of alluded to it a little bit. So many of these players are just different versions of Bella. Yeah. Bella was the most obvious one at first, where she's like loose lips and totally blowing up her own game and everyone else's game. Now Mickey is in the exact same situation. We've talked about how Christy is kind of like that. And in a way, like, Kat isn't to like the worst extent, but she will kind of tell anybody what they want to hear, and is like, anything you say with her is not necessarily safe.
I think Kat, in the way that she's like Bella, when we first saw Bella, I had decent hopes that she might be kind of like a comedic element, likable person. Didn't end up being
that. We did get that great video of her.
Quickly squashed.
Yes. But Kat kind of took that role.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, she's been fun, but she's not my favorite game player by any means.
Who is?
No one. So
it's Cliff.
Cliff, yeah.
We're a Cliffomaniacs podcast.
We're back.
I think we have to be.
Like, we left.
Who's in a better spot in the house right now?
The Cliffomaniacs.
Right now, is there anyone who has a better place in the game than Cliff?
I don't think so.
The only thing that's tough is that I think he has become the de facto leader of the bottom feeders.
They're Cliff's angels, let's be real.
I know, but I kind of like the bottom feeders too.
Yeah.
They're both good.
But they did the pose. So,
right. So they have a Cliff's Angels vibe, yeah. No matter what.
So I could see them targeting him, but they won't, because they're all after each other.
But like, is it obvious that they're in an alliance? Because season those people have not been able to get their, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter together. Because they're just going after each other now.
Yeah, there is a chance if that four stays together. With the deterioration of the six, all of a sudden there might be like little small fracture groups of like two and three, and then that four becomes a power all of a sudden.
That could save the season, because
we need it.
I was talking to the show. I've hated this season.
Oh, yeah.
It's been tough.
It's been, I think it's mainly been horrible because these people are horrible.
They're horrible.
That's not going to change. But if we could get some exciting game moments, then we have a chance.
Right. The big players are horrible people. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And the bad players are horrible players. So there's nothing to like and no one to like. You know what I mean? So like, the people who aren't good at the game, they're nice and they're likable, but they're terrible at the game. So you can't root for them.
Yeah, the only people that we've wanted to root for are the people who are in between, and we're kind of a mixture of all those qualities. Like Sam. Yeah. And sort of Cliff.
Well, and this could turn around, because it does seem like this sort of galvanized them in a way.
I agree.
But
So
Jess won HOH. She gave quite the speech. There's something about Jess when she has fleeting moments of power where she just turns into a politician with just rousing speeches.
And Big Brother scored the speech very well.
She was like, we all wanted to be a part of that. And they denied us. Yeah!
It's undeniable. We were not a part of it.
I'm just going to keep laughing at that. But, I mean, it was an effective speech.
Yeah.
She really rallied the troops. It seemed like Kat actually bought it. And Kat, like we said, she doesn't seem to buy anything when it comes to allegiance.
But, like, still, I think in the back of her head, like, Kat was convinced that she was a part of it. So...
Right. But she wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So Kat basically acknowledged, I am playing every side of the house. Like, pretty much every person in the house, you can say that there's some connection to Kat. Right now, she's obviously with Cliff and his angels.
She's a BJG. Bad jury gal.
And now
Tommy is too.
At the end of the day, we know Holly's her, like, final two, but which overall side does she end up on? Which one is the side that she ends up kind of just going with? Or does she play this game until she either wins it or gets caught in the act?
I think she's just a definition of a floater. And she has a chance to make it to the end because of that. And she technically has a chance to win because she won't do anything that insults any side.
Yeah, is she more of a like a floater with an actual agenda than most floaters? Most floaters float through the game basically just with the wind. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. She's like JC.
They don't really have... Yes, she's like JC. That's exactly
get
it.
Them all
she has
fat.
An agenda. Thank God we like her more than
anytime
JC.
Anytime we can get that in.
Oh, my God. But no, that's a great comparison because that is a type of gameplay, and it's a risky type of gameplay.
I mean, I like her personally, but I hate the gameplay.
I don't think you get much credit for that kind of game.
I think it would be easy to fall into, though, if you don't end up in the main alliance quickly when you get in the house.
Yes. So Jess nominated Jack and Mickey. I don't hate it. We had some interesting thoughts. Owen and I were kind of interested in the idea of target one of the sides, but again, it's hard to know how the sides actually broke down. So, like, ideally, I think you would put up Jack and Christy and just boom, knock out that. Well, I don't know. It's tough because they're going to go after each other. Why do the work for one side?
Okay, so the way I look at it is pick your target, right? That person you got a backdoor. But in the meantime, the only three people that matter are Jack, Mickey, and Christy. So you put the one that you really want out as your back door, but you can live with getting the other two out. So you put them up, regardless of if it's Christy and Jack and they're a power duo, and you're guaranteed to get one of the three out. Yeah, and honestly, I'm not saying Christy should be the target, but getting that power out of the house would be on my mind.
Christy should be number one. I agree.
My logic for picking one side is that you don't want two sides then coming after you.
But they won't. They just aren't. They don't think Jess is a threat.
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
The more I'm thinking about it, putting up one of each, even though it's sort of a happy accident, because again, I don't think they would know exactly how it broke down.
They wouldn't.
It works out because why do the work for one side? Because then they're going to go after each other and not you. Just
yeah.
Let's just get one of them.
Also,
we'll see.
You know what's really interesting? Specifically Jess, because she's been the most confused out of everybody about what's going on in the house. If you don't know where they stand within their now divided six, you put up their two figureheads on each side, and you find out where the votes lie. And all of a sudden, everyone, it's clear who's aligned with who throughout the house.
Yeah.
Now, that is an event that they don't end up in a unanimous vote, but I think you've got to try to force a split vote here.
Yeah, I really wish that this episode was packed, so we didn't have any time to see who was coming up to Jess leading up
True.
To all
yeah,
this, and
right.
I feel like a lot of that was probably really important.
Oh, hugely important.
Agreed. So before we get into segments, I just want to bring up a few jokes that would have been really fitting during the six-shooters argument, but I forgot to mention.
Let's do it.
So, and we barely even touched on this. Hey. Mickey broke the coffee code. Hashtag Annalise knows.
Wait, I missed the Annalise part to this.
She's the coffee girl.
Annalise is the coffee girl? What?
She
you have brought that up so many times. Her most liked thing is just coffee.
Oh, I thought you meant like that was actually her role in the house.
No.
Like she made the coffee and one day she didn't.
No, Annalise.
And Mickey took the role.
Wasn't it like Annalise can't go without coffee?
She makes like a nice blonde.
Yeah, but how dare Mickey bring Christy coffee?
How was I supposed to know? You literally brought me coffee this morning.
And then betray her.
At two, Mickey. At two.
Literally everything matters in this game, very clearly.
Also, Tommy's freak out about how the six could have lived on. That'll be on his Tony reel. You heard it here first.
Well, according to Sis, we're not six no mo, so...
That was weird.
Sis is
she wild. Was wearing a trash bag.
The joke, as our account said at one point, the jokes write themselves.
The account that's apparently like a bug tweets from our account.
Wait, what?
You were like, as our account said.
Oh.
Our accountant tweets from the Twitter account.
No, it was Brendan. Brendan tweeted that joke. There you go. You got your credit.
So who were the Sunakes again?
The Mickey. Snakes in the grass.
Mickey. No, she said, Mickey is a snake.
All right.
Love and Showmance. It's back. Sadly, for some reasons that we don't love, the end of a bromance. The love's still there, but it just can't happen anymore. They're on opposite sides. It's a real Romeo and Juliet tale.
I know.
Mickey and Jack are no longer.
They were both willing to take bullets for each other.
I love you, bro. And I love you, too.
But it was different this time.
I wish you could have seen Terrence. And then the best part, which we touched on earlier, was, well, guess I can't trust Jack anymore. Yeah, obviously. I just fucking love that guy.
And then Mickey going, freaking out on her and be like, yeah, kick me while I'm down.
You know what has become abundantly clear between that conversation, last episode, and Mickey being the first one out in the HOH competition? He is very much Holly's dog.
Oh, I know. No, well,
don't do anything. I'm not gonna do anything. Don't do anything. Okay, I won't.
Well, at the same time, though, why does Holly put up with him always being like, don't talk to me like that? It's like, why not? She's telling you not to be an idiot.
She's not ready to let go of Mickey.
I know. I
couldn't
believe
that was the worst thing said this episode.
Let's get Luke P. on the line and see what he thinks about that when he heard that.
So, RIP to one of the three showmances. Bromance, I guess.
It was beautiful while it lasted.
We've still got a Lomance.
It was beautiful and misogynistic.
It really was. We've got a Lomance still thriving, honestly, between Tommy and Christy.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a Showmance that doesn't really seem to exist between Jack and Annalise. And that's it.
Mickey and Holly.
Oh, Mickey and Holly. The most obvious Showmance.
do we want to say Kat and Holly are...
No.
They're a before the Showmance.
Yes. And
although that now we have to classify Christy and Tommy as that too.
Yes.
But were they a manse? That's the thing.
Christy,
they were an acquaintance.
Christy. Bazinga. All right. Sunday Scaries. Once again, none of us decided who we're going to talk about. So I'm going to talk about whoever you guys don't talk about.
Dibs on Christy.
Damn it. I'll take Jack.
I'll take Mickey.
All right. Let's do it.
Mickey should be scared. I feel like I like did. I feel like I.
Whoa. Well, no wonder you know so much about the walls of the Big Brother house.
I heard there was a stool in the shower for that. I saw that on Twitter.
So apparently that's like very much a thing this season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is wrong with
these
people?
They're
I would
like
hate to be the person cleaning that up.
Rabbits, whatever you prefer to say.
I don't want to sound naive, but is that always a thing with Big Brother? I feel like most seasons people are very much not.
It's happened.
I know it has.
They're not drawing attention to it right now.
No, I know it has, but like it seems,
I think,
especially prevalent this year.
It was a big thing with Matt and Raven in BB19.
Yeah, because they found the condoms when they were doing that one competition.
Oh. It was not a big thing with Tyler and Angela.
No.
You know what? I'll give them credit for it. That means they're normal people.
Right. Yeah. Every like other episode we got Tyler Blue Ball's like sitcom segment where she was she would just be like, just you wait till we get out of the house, and he'd just be like, oh my god. So yeah, that is a thing.
Why is Mickey scared?
Well, what I was trying to say, and then I got like lost in how to say it. I feel like I did Mickey for Sunday Scaries, said it quickly there, last episode or last week, and basically said the same thing. He's super unlikable. No one likes him. Two different things if you think about it. And on top of that, he can't win a competition unless it's taking your clothes off on a jet ski. You heard it here first. He's not good at competitions. If it's mental, he will not win. If it's physical, he probably won't win because Jack is physically dominant. And on top of that, the votes are not in his favor right now if the nominations stay the same, because it's really just him and Holly, unless he can somehow convince Cliff's Angels that they should vote out Jack.
also stay woke without his potentially performance enhancing supplements. He seems to be losing a little bit of
I didn't want to imply that, but you just did, so thank you.
Owen
has implied that Jack is a sociopath and that
Mickey's on roids, and both seem somewhat founded. But anyway, there was a really unflattering picture of Mickey where he was like laying down sleeping, and like, granted, everyone has bad angles. He basically looked like he had like a gut starting. So
I mean, I'm not going to throw stones here.
I'm not saying it in that sense. I'm saying it in the sense that his body's changing.
The other thing I was thinking about throwing stones, Tommy and Christy need to really pay attention to the people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. They were leading the you knew each other outside of the house charge.
Yeah, do you think that is... I don't think anyone would ever like connect the dots, but like, does that almost draw more attention to you?
Been some things that sort of revealed it a little bit?
I don't know.
I think people should have their eyebrows raised whenever she calls him Thomas. And that was a big thing from the start, but right. I still have heard her do it.
People almost always figure this stuff out in the Big Brother house, but I guess, again, this group of house guests is just so inept at the game that they can't read those sort of things.
Yeah, all it takes is making one offhand reference that's weird, having one slip of, you know, one slip using the wrong pronoun somewhere, like, and people will just like notice that if it happens a couple times.
Oh, yeah, that was like Christmas 2017.
Mama Bracco's house.
I'm surprised that
when you were dating my mom,
there hasn't been a producer wink wink like notice anything weird with them.
That's what I
always forget about that, but it's true.
That's what I was wondering with Holly overhearing their conversation. Why was she there?
She was like in the shower, probably with Mickey
on the stool.
I don't think there's any way the producers can be like, Holly, go listen at this door.
She's like, what?
Yeah, I mean, she clearly wasn't just in the diary room since she was in a towel, so.
Right.
Your turn.
All right, we're still doing Sunday Scary.
You both just stared at me.
Hey, Brett, you're the host, okay? Okay, Jack. Well, I do agree that maybe Mickey is the bigger target right now. Jack is by no means out of the woods. He does have the competition ability, which will help him out here. And the one thing he does have on his side is he might be the only person other than Tommy that could have the diamond power veto used on him. So that's important. I think that would be in her best interest because Christy would then maybe worry that she'd be the replacement nominee. So I think that's very plausible. Two things working in his favor. But the fact of the matter is the house could come to the conclusion very easily that since Mickey is like basically done, like we talked about, once you lose that trust in everybody, it's just a matter of when you're going. I felt that way about Nick 2 weeks ago. I think he might have got out of the woods because other than making some dickhead comments, he didn't really do anything game-wise that was like shady that people can't trust him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done. Now, he doesn't have a lot of ammo or anything like that, but like I don't think he's completely on the outs. Mickey might be completely on the outs, and that will obviously work against him. But with Jack, that's all the more reason to get Jack out. If Mickey's done, he's still a bigger target in the house. And also, Jack, I don't know if it's more so or less so than Mickey, has explicitly offended the majority of the women in Cliff's Angels. They're the majority of the votes right now, right?
So Mickey?
Jack has. I don't know if it's more or less than Mickey has. They both have. But all I'm saying is the house flipping to want Jack out is completely feasible.
Oh, yeah.
And he could easily have an outburst or something along those lines or make some jerk comment that just sends it all in the wrong direction for him.
If Mickey's smart, he'll just put everyone's blender bottle into the fridge.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right, I'm going to take Christy. And I actually don't think Christy should be scared about going home this week. For that reason, or I think that because she has her power and why she should be scared is when/how she should be using it. Because this is the week that she should be paranoid. and she has to decide, should she let someone like Jack do it if he wins, or should she try and hold out more? I don't know how long this lasts. I assume she has a week or two left of it.
I want to say it was 6 weeks, or it might have been four. It's getting at the best down to like the last 2 weeks.
Six is the number in my head.
Well, six was definitely, I want to say, Ovi's. And Jax was until final six. So maybe it is four.
Maybe.
It could be. We'll see. But I think, continue, sorry.
And for that reason, I don't think Christy really has to worry about going home. And maybe even if she's on the block against one of those two, maybe she still doesn't go home.
Well, you figure if she's on the block against Jack, she might be screwed. If she's on the block against Mickey, she's probably safe.
Yeah. So with that, she really just has to control herself, which she's not good at doing, because this is the first time her game is really being threatened.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So let's get into a special edition of Between a Rock Star and a Hard Place. So the three of us sort of listened to the Angela Rockstar show with the episode on the anniversary of her daughter's birthday.
My daughter's birthday.
And her fight with Brett from season 20. Season 20. Good times.
We miss those days.
So basically in ascending order, Terrence listened to 2 minutes, not even maybe.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to discuss the TV Co app.
So I'm going to get into that. I listened to like 35 minutes. Owen listened to the full 60. I only listened to 35 minutes because I literally left the room for a few minutes. And when I came back, the app was closed. And then I couldn't get back to the time I was at in the video.
I mean, like, come on, Rockstar. Get this on iTunes or something. Like,
well, do you really? She's on TV Co. Couldn't be us.
Do you think there's any chance she's like a featured person and they like actually paid her to do something?
Well,
like
she
that?
Is. I'm
actually,
sure.
The biggest community on that app is Big Brother.
Right.
Interesting.
It's this weird, like, Periscope knockoff that the video never works. She was just reading comments from people, but without saying what they said.
You guys want to get on there?
So basically,
do a live pod.
She said she would do a pod with people like from the, you know, like talking to her.
Let's get on there. We're gonna be on the next TV co-broadcast.
Somehow, like if this show ever gets guests, I think Rockstar is like a first ballot. Guest.
She's our white whale.
She's
white
1-1. 1-1. First round, first pick.
There you go.
So I guess Owen and I will talk about this.
Rockstar has blue hair. Gotta say I like the pink hair better.
Yeah. I mean, she always kind of changed it up.
Yeah.
And I scrolled just to see what Brett looked like. He looks good.
Yeah.
Brett.
Those are my takes.
So let's get into Brett, Owen. Brett. Just a normal guy. He went back to work. Good for him.
Back at the cybersecurity.
Right. He couldn't go to... She asked why he wasn't at the opening premiere party because, like everyone else, he has a job and it was on a Tuesday.
Yeah. And I want to really quick get out of the way the intro of this, which was just Rockstar alone. And she was talking about like, yep, Isaac really loving school right now.
I saw that part.
He loves circle time. Singing time. I think Brett's gonna come through. I haven't talked to him in a year.
Have you ever seen that video of the kid who goes, I like to sing, dance, pretend? That is exactly what it was like.
So I mean, there really isn't that much to talk about with this, but there actually were a few interesting things. First of all, they talked about how this group of house guests is just insanely mean and unlikable. And how they can't even, I mean, there weren't really issues like that last season if you think about it.
Yeah, and the way they read their stuff last season was like most of it was done game wise. Like even the argument between them was based off of game stuff.
Right.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. And they're seeing these people interact and it's like, man, like are they trying to play the game or are they just really horrible people?
Yeah, Brett was sort of saying, are they just trying to be like savage game characters or are they just terrible people, like you said?
Yeah.
Some other things that I thought were interesting. Brett kind of made a point that I think we've sort of talked about with in conjunction with the live feeds. that when you watch the show, it's kind of weird because it just seems so simple. And it's like, all right, A, B, C. But in reality, it's like A, B, Z, numbers over here, you know, carry the two. There's all these like angles going on and everyone's coming and pitching you stuff. And it's actually a lot more complex and hard to keep track of what's going on and how you should be aligned and whatnot, which I think is a good point. And it's a good point, but it doesn't excuse the fact that no one can do it this year, because most years some people can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that gets at the point I've made a couple times about how if you look at the end of the season where like some live feed person will put together a graphic of all different alliances in the house, and there's like 47.
They were actually saying that in relation to Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, because my favorite alliance.
People were asking Rockstar like if she was shocked when Brett didn't honor their alliance, and she was basically like, I mean, like, we never had an alliance.
She was like, not like, really.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what they were getting at, where everything is so scattered. Like, they all probably had those alliances that didn't exist with other people.
Right.
Makes sense.
The other thing I'm going to say, Rockstar, not a good podcast host. Not toot my own horn here, but basically, Brett was pretty good. He would, you know, talk about things, go off, you know, have interesting things to say out. Say about things that she brought up, and then she'd just be like, right, yeah, I feel you.
I was trying to get down.
Probably the funniest moment that shocked both Owen and I. God. They were talking about Love Island.
No, they were
The Bachelor.
Actually talking about The Bachelor, like, what other shows would you consider going on? And then Brett, he pretty much said, like, I don't know, once you get your heart involved and stuff, I don't like that. And, like, I don't think I could get past a girl I like making out with, like, 25 other guys. Like, I definitely wouldn't be for that in real life, so I wouldn't be for that in a show.
And Rockstar goes, yeah, like, maybe if I was in an orgy or something.
Oh, no! I need to go watch this now!
And he was just like, yeah, like, I guess the setting does matter. Like, he did not know that like that was gonna come out of
speaking
that.
Of orgy, did she ask him about Kat at all?
She did
Yeah,
he's not interested because he's talking to someone pretty seriously, and he said it's starting to come across a little creepy, which I kind of agree.
He said that, but then was also like, but she seems like a nice girl, so like, I'm sure it's all fine. And yeah, she probably has nothing else to talk about in there, so. Yes,
agreed.
And then, I mean, it is always kind of interesting to hear house guests talk about how Big Brother like actually works. He said that he didn't even know what Big Brother was and they sought him out basically. So I'm assuming he has like a mild social media presence.
Yeah, he must have, because I don't know how else they would have found him.
Cause that's pretty much how, like, for example, Jersey Shore, they basically were just like found through MySpace.
I wonder,
like, hey, we want this guy on here, and they just went and filmed it.
I wonder if there's any aspect of, like, maybe, like, a producer went to, like, the same gym as Brett or something.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think stuff like that happens. But I don't know. I think he lives in, like, Boston or something like that, yeah. So probably not.
I went to the same gym as Mark from season 19, so maybe I'll get cast at some point.
I thought he's a Catalyst guy.
Pretty sure it was him.
Really?
In retrospect, I'm like, there was
you
this one
went
guy.
Went to the same gym as him?
Yeah.
Where?
Okay.
It was LA Fitness.
Oh.
That makes sense.
He probably switched to LA Fitness when he got back.
He was
like,
clanging
now
and banging.
Big time.
He was clanging and banging. He like grunts real hard.
Ooh. Oh, that's a bad look.
Lunk alarm.
We have. can I have a sidebar here?
Sidebar.
We have some hot BB news into the studio.
breaking moves.
My fiance just texted me that her aunt works with Jack's mom.
What?
So we'll see if we can use this connection anyway and tell her that her son is a piece of shit or something. But yeah, there you go.
That's really weird.
Wow.
Oh, and do you want to take back what you said about him?
I thought he doesn't like have any connection with his family.
He might not. He doesn't have any connections to anyone.
Maybe his mom would agree with us.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Back to Rockstar and the orgy talk.
So that was pretty much it. I mean, the orgy thing was incredible because she was like serious when she said it.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't like a joke.
Yo, how do you think I had a radio?
I saw Rockstar tweet the other day about how guys who don't tip at restaurants or bars are always the guys that are like hitting on her the most. And it was like, yo, why would I dump my man for your broke ass? And I thought that was an amazing tweet.
It's a great, great tweet. Any other thoughts? Because that's about where I cut off.
Filled up.
I don't think so. They talked a lot about just how all-consuming the game is.
Mm-hmm.
In that after you're there for about a month, you almost like forget about the outside world for a little bit. And they actually referenced a little bit of like post-game PTSD.
They said really?
They were both 1,000,000% believe that.
I do too.
What'd they say?
Brett was saying like he would be approached by a fan just saying like, oh man, loved your season, you guys were great, and he would be thinking about like, what's your angle, dude? Like, why are you saying this to me?
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because she was like, it's weird, but when you were on the block or when someone went out, it was like they were going to the guillotine or something. that's wild. I can see that. When you're in there that long, I feel like you would probably be in a funk for a couple months when you get out.
So strange. They both said that they were.
Yeah.
And apparently, I didn't quite realize the timeline. Rockstar had like just given birth, and she said like she was having all of the like postpartum hormones during the game.
Oh no.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Poor girl, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah, so that was our review of the Angela Rockstar show.
Big ups to Baltimore.
Ovi is on this week, I'm pretty sure. Maybe he was just on.
I think
that
he was just on.
Not must see.
Yeah, no, we won't podcasting. We won't be reviewing that one.
So that wraps up season 3, episode 11 of Podcast of Veto. Any closing thoughts?
I've said my piece.
I have as well.
Big ups to Baltimore again.
See. Good night, house guests.